And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Jeffrey Brewer is the editorial director of Gallup Press, which publishes books and the Gallup Management Journal. He's the editor of 5 national bestsellers. We won't go into all of them there. His most recent book, he also co-edited with Barb Sanford, is titled Decade of Change, Managing in Times of Uncertainty. Jeff is the 7-time recipient of the Jesse H. Neal Editorial Achievement Award. He was the editor-in-chief of Sales and Marketing Management Magazine. He garnered a Folio Magazine Award for his efforts there. Jeff is a frequent speaker and a guest lecturer on management topics at New York University's School of Continuing and Professional Studies. Welcome to the show, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. A pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks so much for being my guest. So your book is all about change. It's titled Decade of Change, Managing in Times of Uncertainty. So let's just review the first decade of the 21st century, shall we? We had the Y2K.
Not much happened, right?
No, nothing at all. It was just an uneventful decade, 10 years of blah. No, actually, it was quite the opposite. It was chaos, to say the least. I mean, it started with the Y2K bug, and then that led to a boom in tech spending, followed by the dot-com bubble, which was a direct result of the terrorist attacks of 9/11. The Dow Jones went from 14,000 at its high point down to 6,500 at its low point. We had the housing bubble, and that didn't include such bubble issues in companies as Enron, Global Crossing, WorldCom, Bernie Madoff. We had the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. We'd had the attempts at reform in both health care and finance, and we have a new president to boot. So if you take a look at that and you look back to 1999 when all we were worried about was the Y2K scare, you know, if we should have thought more about it, Y2K was probably a harbinger of things to come. So what does your research indicate about the pace of change that's going to be coming in the years ahead, Jeff?
Well, I do want to note the irony, first of all, and I'm glad you brought up Y2K, and we make reference to that in the introduction of the book. The irony that there was this sort of, almost apocalyptic focus on, you know, when the calendar was switching to January 1st, 2000, and all the horrible things that could happen to the computers and stuff like that, and it didn't, and, you know, preparations were made, and it worked out fine. But it was almost like people's millennial instincts were right. It was just focused on the wrong, the wrong moment. I don't know. It's hard to know exactly when things started right off the rails in the new millennium. I think there were some harbingers, actually, unrest in the Middle East, the Intifada, in I believe September of 2000. But I think for many of us, the decade really began on September 11th, 2001. And the millennium really began, and I think that set in motion, obviously many events, but also just let us know that we were in for quite a wild ride. What we decided to do with this book was we had begun publishing the Gallup Management Journal in March of 2001, not knowing that we were on the cusp of such tremendous change. What we decided to do was look back at what we had written over the past, from 2001 to early 2011, and try to figure out how did, in real time, how were really smart executives, business leaders, our researchers and big thinkers, how were people confronting those changes in real time? And the idea was to look back and say, all right, let's get some insights from those from throughout the decade on managers and executives and big thinkers dealing with these very events, and try to think, okay, what can we learn from people who are in the thick of that about dealing with change going into the future? And I think it's fair to say we're not out of the woods yet, and we're still in for a lot more change.
Without a doubt, and no one knows, of course, what the future will bring, but if the past 10 years is any indication, the next 10 years are going to be something else. My guest is Jeff Brewer, and Jeff, you said that this is a compilation book of the best articles of your best thinkers over the past decade or so. How did you and your co-editor, Barb Sanford, decide which articles to include in the book Decade of Change?
Well, it's a good question because I wouldn't categorize them necessarily as a collection of the best articles, although they're all probably would easily qualify as a collection of such. But what we were really looking at is over the hundreds of articles that we've done over the past 10 years, which best addressed or captured the topic of change or addressed or captured wrestling with change as it was unfolding. You know, like articles on dealing with, you know, the fallout, the morale fallout of layoffs after the financial collapse of 2008, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we say, how are our researchers and how are companies dealing with things in real time at the time? So the theme that runs throughout the book isn't necessarily here are the best articles we've done over the past 10 years, but it's absolutely here are the articles that most directly and candidly, and I would say usefully, address the various and sundry changes that we face in the decade.
Well, it's interesting because you lead the book with what was one of the most remarkable changes of the decade, and that was the findings in your book about the nature of economics. And,
yeah.
And I found that this was interesting on a couple of different levels because the psychology that's revealed here really was the backbone of the boom and the bust that we had throughout the
mm-hmm.
decade. And I found it equally amusing that the Nobel Peace Prize in economics went to a psychologist about his theories of rational behavior. So tell us the story about why a psychologist wins the Nobel Prize in economics. More importantly, Jeff, what are the implications for business?
Well, this is so important. And the reason we put this is an interview we did with Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman, who is one of the leaders of the growing field of behavioral economics. You know, the reason we led with that interview was partly because it pointed to, it helped frame the whole feeling about the decade, you know, that this was an incredibly emotionally driven as opposed to rationally driven decade. I mean, what is terrorism other than a, you know, a great sort of irrational outcry or crime or a horrible thing that is completely and utterly driven by emotion? But there's also many far less dramatic aspects that, you know, how we buy is, you know, how we buy what we buy, how we spend money, how we live our lives is so profoundly driven by emotion. And our interview with Danny Kahneman framed the book really nicely because, you know, his basic assumption, what he's basically saying is that the rational agent model, which assumes that people make reasonable decisions and do simple cost-benefit analyses of the things they buy, is just flat out wrong. We are far more emotional, far more affective than we are rational. I don't want to attribute this particular thing to Professor Kahneman, but our observations at Gallup is that we're probably, like, you know, in our decision making, probably 70% emotional and 30% rational. I mean, individual decisions, and this certainly Professor Kahneman would agree on, are based much more on perception, context, faulty reasoning, and things that can be actually quite easily in many ways manipulated.
Right.
So this, I think the important thing is that framing the book in this way, emotions and emotions were really played such a role in all of the changes of the past 10 years.
And we saw it in every one of the cycles that we went through during the past 10 years. My guest is Jeff Brewer. He's the editor of the book Decade of Change, Managing in Times of Uncertainty. And Jeff, you can't deny, if you look back over the past decade, it was the decade of the Internet. And I always find
Absolutely.
It interesting when you have any kind of a discussion with Vincent Cerf, who was, in fact, the father of the modern Internet. And he's remarkable for two reasons. Number one, his invention, the Internet, is truly changing society and will continue to change society as it evolves. But number two, he's one of the few inventors of a life-changing invention that's still around to talk about it. So tell us, what does Vincent Cerf think about the future of the Internet, and what did you glean from your interviews with him?
Well, first of all, it was just fascinating to understand, just how the Internet came about, and just, when you know, tracing back to the, you know, the early 70s and that sort of thing. It's just really, it's fascinating to just talk about, you know, and when it and how it moved from a sort of defense project, you know, the ARPANET, to something that became commercialized in the 90s. You know, without getting into too much detail, because it gets kind of, this stuff gets complicated and probably doesn't lend itself to a radio conversation. I mean, one thing that we asked Dr. Cerf is, you know, given that the Internet is obviously just a part of all of our lives, has business itself exploited the Internet's full potential. Remember, this book that we've written, compiled here, is really for organizational leaders and executives. So
right.
we always try to get a business take on it. And, you know, Dr. Cerf said, we have not by any stretch exploited the Internet's full potential yet. In fact, he says, and I'm just quoting here, we're just barely scratching the surface of what we can do with this kind of technology. And I think you're beginning to see that more and more in terms of how things are going to be networked and how things are going to converge. If I were to just sum it up in real broad strokes, I would say, if you think that you've seen a lot of change regarding the Internet, you haven't seen anything yet. And he's very excited. And in many cases, he's not quite sure where it's going to go.
Sure.
But when the inventor of the Internet, you look at all that the Internet's done to it so far and all that we've experienced, when the inventor of the Internet says it has barely scratched the surface, you know you're in for some pretty exciting times ahead.
Absolutely. All you need to do is just take a look at a radio show like mine. I'm on terrestrial radio, and we broadcast out over that. That's great. We also broadcast over the Internet. I keep my archives of all of my past shows on the Internet, and now the shows are also available on iTunes. So just this little show, which in the grand scheme of things is a very small part of the overall economy, it's available in a variety of different ways over the Internet and is definitely impacting the way that we live. My guest
Absolutely.
Is Jeff Brewer. And Jeff, the other thing is it's very timely that you're on. QE2, Quantitative Easing 2, is ending this week, and that's about $700 billion that we've spent to bolster the economy with very poor results. In your book, though, you talk about the other $700 billion issue on the table that nobody is giving any real consideration to. So what's the other $700 billion question? And we'll get into that and talk a little bit more about it once you lay out what the issue is.
Well, there's another $700 billion problem facing the government, and it's hidden in the U.S. healthcare system. Healthcare costs are, without getting into numbers, I mean, healthcare costs are just becoming a huge, huge part of our economy. And you know, I think you could even be non-political in saying this. And Gallup is very studiously, you know, objective
right.
and non-political.
Apolitical.
Mm-hmm. But you've got, I mean, without putting just a price tag on it, you have, I don't think it's alarmist to say that, our CEO, Jim Clifton, who's coming out with a book in the fall called The Coming Jobs War, emphasizes this as well. If there's anything that's going to bankrupt this country, it's going to be escalating health costs. It's and I'm not just talking about the deliveries, you know, whether it be Medicare or private insurance, it doesn't matter. The point of the matter is that escalating health costs are beginning to really siphon off tremendous amount of productive money and capital in this country. And somehow we have to find a way to get that contained, because that's really the runaway beast right now.
Without a doubt, it's escalating health costs are far exceeding the traditional rate of inflation. I mean, by an order of magnitude. And yet nobody has addressed any of the escalating health costs. In fact, President Obama's health care bill does virtually nothing to address the inflation that's going on in the health care industry. And the numbers are staggering. You can read about them in the book. But right now, the numbers, about 8% of our total GDP today goes towards healthcare. And if you talk to a European, if you talk to a South American, you talk to our cousins across the border in Canada, they'll laugh at us and say, you're spending 8% on your GDP. Your healthcare performance is not that much better than our country's. So what are you getting for your money? And that's really
right.
the key. And that's something that the healthcare bill doesn't address, is what are we getting for our money? So you think that's going to be the next battleground, is the inflationary costs of healthcare?
I think that's going to be huge. And I've become persuaded by that, not only in our work at the Gallup Management Journal, very much in the work that I've been doing with our chairman, Jim Clifton, on his book that's coming out in October, The Coming Jobs War. I mean, basically, his take on it has been, and that's not addressed in this book, because this book, he's begun to write about this more and more, and that's going to appear in his own book, is that, you know, you're not going to be able to talk about job creation or a thriving economy in the future, or anything like that, unless you really get healthcare costs under control. And when you think about it, and I know we talk about it all the time, with baby boomers moving into their, you know, twilight years, that's going to be a huge, huge bulk of people that are going to need, you know, going to need health coverage, that are going to have health issues, as do most elderly people, and that's where a lot of the spending is.
Without a doubt. My guest is
figuring out a way to get that under control is going to be huge.
That it will. My guest is Jeff Brewer, his book, Decade of Change. Jeff, of all the research that you did over the past decade, of all the articles that you culled through to put into this book, what research really was the most remarkable to you?
Well, I've got to go back to, that's great, and it's relevant to your other question. I've got to go back to a piece that we have in this book that was actually penned by our chairman, Jim Clifton, who's just he's one of our big thinkers here. I mean, right up there with some of the other folks we have in the book. One of the biggest things that findings Gallup has made, and this was through our world poll that we launched in 2005, what everyone in the world really wants is a good job.
Sure.
It sounds so simple, and yet that was a pretty mind-blowing discovery that Gallup has made, which is beautifully explicated in Jim Clifton's essay in Decade of Change. But that itself, and when you talk about change and you talk about change in our society, change and the changes that we write about and the psychology that Daniel Kahneman talks about in our decision-making, a big change is just simply understanding how many social problems throughout the world could be solved, perhaps wars averted, perhaps various and sundry conflicts averted, if more people had a good job.
And that's an important learning. We're talking to Jeff Brewer, author of The Decade of Change, Managing in Times of Uncertainty. Jeff, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, even more about Gallup, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would love them to go to gmj.gallup.com, gmj.gallup.com.
gmj.gallup.com.
That's the URL for the Gallup Management Journal, where we post articles, a couple times, new management articles a couple times a week, articles of the kind of, dealing with all the topics that we've spoken about in this interview. And then we have a very rich archives of articles from the past 10 years now. GMJ.Gallup.com. It's just where you can get the most updated, management research and insights that we have. And also, we try to remain as topical as possible. I mean, we have, wonderful interviews, for instance, with Gallup's chief economist, Dennis Jacoby, who in June 2007 said the subprime mess is going to burn everyone.
And he was right.
I always say, don't ever let anybody tell you they didn't see the 2008 crash coming, because I know for one person, Gallup's chief economist definitely saw it coming, and he saw it, and he put it in plain English to us. So with Gallup Management Journal, we have access to great executives out there and great minds within Gallup, and great research and economists and people who really know what's going on, but more importantly, where things are going.
And we're going to have to leave it there. My guest has been Jeff Brewer, author of the book Decade of Change. Jeff, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.